Welcome to the Brilliant Breakthroughs Business Podcast. We're so happy you're here today to learn about how to create fresh perspectives on profitability, people, productivity, and finding peace in your small business. Today, we're going to discuss some fresh perspectives regarding the profitability of your business. So, hi, business rock stars. My name is Maggie Mongan, and I am your host today. I'm a small business thought leader, tenured master business coach, and growth strategist for about 20 years now. And I am the CEO of Brilliant Breakthroughs, Inc., which is a coaching practice specializing in guiding and simplifying your business brilliance, small business owners. I'm all about improving the underserved small business sector, and I honestly believe that small businesses are the accelerant of our economy, so much so that I inadvertently ended up creating a number one best-selling business book series for small businesses. Now, don't worry, we'll share a little bit more about that, but most importantly, what I would like to share with you is that, like all good things, I did not do it alone. I invited tenured experts to join me in the authoring process. And today we have with us one of our tenured experts. Now I guess I get to say a two-time number one. You're a two-timer here. A two-time number one international best-selling business author, Dennis Hill. Congratulations on that, Dennis.
Thank you, Maggie, and congratulations to you too on your fifth volume in this great series. It was great to be a part of it.
Thank you. And everyone, it's really important for you to know who Dennis Hill is, because he helps business owners and leaders integrate their business systems to streamline operations and systems. And in case that's not enough, align workers and their workflows so they can improve their productivity and ultimately their profitability. Dennis, I imagine you're a pretty busy person doing all that.
It's a lot of fun, though. I'm an unrepentant, irreparable, consummate workaholic.
Got it. Well, welcome to our show once again, Dr. Dennis Hill, and truly congrats. Two number one internationals in 2 years. That's pretty amazing.
It's awesome. It's awesome. And it's awesome again because of your guidance and leadership in this, and that of Becky and the whole publishing team. This is a new age of knowledge. And when you promote new knowledge and people are like sponges, you can't help but be number one. It's part of the intentionality of why even communicate, why even write.
Exactly. Exactly. And I'd like to say welcome back to, let's see, this would be your second episode in your mini series here for Volume 5's book topic, right?
Right. And I'm excited for that because, you know, you have been, you're very good at what you do. And again, that's multifaceted as well. It isn't just editing and publishing a book or even a series. It's also engaging with the authors and engaging with the social networks and engaging with the platforms in such a synergistic way that it all just works well.
Well, there's a sequence to success, and you need to have all the variables and you need to have them in the right order for it to be a smashing success. So thanks for noticing. We work at that. And here you are, your second book in our series is Volume 5. And that's the one with the beautiful turquoise cover. Our book is titled Brilliant Breakthroughs for the Small Business Owner. And the subtitle is Where All the Juice Is. It is Fresh Perspectives on Profitability, People, Productivity, and Finding Peace in Your Business. Dennis, your chapter in Volume 5 is titled Integrate for Well-Managed Intentional Profits, which is really a sequel to what you wrote in Volume 4, right?
Right. Yeah, the focus last year was productivity. So I was sitting on a different pillar. This year I'm sitting on the first pillar of profits, because a company exists, at least a company in the United States and many other countries, but certainly in the United States, exists to make a profit. You can create nonprofits, you can go into the not-for-profit arena, but That's not what we're talking about here. Yes. What is that? Oh, yeah. The star pen. So the real benefit of having a business in a capitalistic society, which is the greatest economic model that has produced more wealth and more freedom than any other economic model. So I make sure people understand that we live in a democratic republic and we're in an age where business, just like government, is being democratized. I mean, we could spend an hour talking just about the democratization of not only government, which we hear a lot about in terms of the ability now to have direct input on a lot of things, but the democratization of social media and the democratization of the internet, democratization ultimately of the world of e-commerce. And everybody has a say in it. There's a big difference, for example, in watching somebody put a critique up about your company on LinkedIn versus putting it out there on their Twitter. And when we talk about that, it's capitalism that's driving the success in that area. And so capitalism, fundamentally being an economic system, is well supported by democratic republics like we have in the United States. Socialism, on the other hand, is not an economic system. That is a governmental system. And I love, I can't recall who it was who said it, but off the top of my head, might be Einstein. I don't know. It was somebody. Oh, it might be Friedman now that I'm thinking about it. But capitalism, of course, is an economic system that manifests itself optimally under a democratic republican form of government. Whereas socialism is a government searching for an economic system. And that's a big problem. So your book, our book, this series is all about supporting and promoting, as you said, the catalyst for acceleration, that accelerator of our economy. That's small business. That's the more than 10 of almost 15 million small businesses in the United States. And there's twice as many of those that have maybe even more. There's certainly tens of millions of small businesses that have come in and out of business. We want to make sure that when somebody gets into business, that they have a greater likelihood of success, that they don't become a statistic of, being among the 2/3 that fail within the first decade. That's just not good enough.
Correct. I don't want to settle for those statistics. I think there's plenty of good experts out there, valid experts, as we call brilliant practicing experts, according to our authors. And excuse me. And I believe that it is time for a change. Small business sector deserves better than what they've been served up all these years. And thank you for being part of that.
It's exciting. You can be recognized, and like I have been, in Marquis Who's Who and Outstanding Young Men of America and all of these different awards over a lifetime. But it's one thing to have your name in a book. It's another thing to have your name on a book. And when you're imparting knowledge like we're doing as a team of authors, you can literally pick up the book and think about the four pillars, profitability, people, productivity, and peace. I mean, peace. I don't know a single small business owner that doesn't need some creative insights from other parties to help them bring a little peace to their life.
We have that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, nobody else seems to have this kind of multi-author type of tool. So affordable. And so much available at your fingertips. And then, if there's any question about it, just trust the world, who's made it a number one bestseller and a number one international bestseller. And every one of your books have become a number one bestseller. I'm proud of the fact that I've been part of the last 2 years when it's become a number one international bestseller.
Well, we've learned a few things over the years.
Oh, it's awesome. And folks, here's the secret. Right. It isn't just about algorithms, and it isn't just about having a mass of people behind you to help promote it through social media. You should have something meaningful to say. And unfortunately, the cacophony of noise on the internet and the misinformation, the misdirection, I don't mind saying it because most people who know me know that I refer to most marketing people, and you know, with present company accepted and maybe a few others, I see a lot of snake oil sales going on out there in the coaching and the monitoring and the promotion and the advising and the consulting. Look, if people really have something to say, let the masses vote on it by putting it out there in writing, be truly peer reviewed. And if you go to number one, you go to number one deservedly. And if you are deserving of that, then everybody else who hasn't picked up the book, pick it up. You have nothing to lose, especially with it being offered initially here for less than a dollar. I mean, what can you buy for less than a dollar? I think if I was to ask for an extra straw at a drive-through food place like McDonald's, they'd probably charge me more than that.
Oof. Oof. Okay, so now that you've told us how you really, really feel, maybe we should ask you a couple of questions to get into today's topic.
I'm unopinionated.
Represents Dennis Hill and his business. Let's have some little fun. But
answers of the authors are their own and are in no way an endorsement by Spotlight Publishing or Brilliant Breakthroughs or May. Thank you, Mommy.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at, but I couldn't think of it on the fly. Thank you. But let's dive into your topic, okay? Because everything you said is true. And I think this whole concept of the penny yo-yo that you shared in your chapter will make things a little more clear that you are far from theoretical. Okay. So I'd like to dedicate this entire podcast to the example that you created for us, the penny yo-yo, and where it came from. And its importance to you as a teaching aid and the overall value that it provides for small business owners. And last time in your episode, we discussed the need for a small business owner to view their company holistically from a process point of view, and that the bigger picture requires bigger lenses. And you've mentioned this in your other episodes prior to that, even bigger lenses is something that I always attach to you, Dennis, when I think of you. So here we are. Our business success is requiring bigger lenses from us, that each one of us is capable of grinding for ourselves through education, training, and practical experience, right? Okay. And your yo-yo example is a really cool illustration of the impact of small savings can lead to huge profits. So first is, I have to ask you, Dennis, is your penny yo-yo example a real world application or something you made up?
It's real. It's absolutely real. This is a yo-yo. This is one still in the original package from a couple of decades ago. I won't mention the company, but if you can see this on a video version of this podcast, then I might pirate at some point, put out there. Most beloved name in the toy business for decades and decades, Duncan. Oh, there it is. I mentioned it.
Oh, so Duncan yo-yos.
I was on their board as a young professor, and then all the way through when I had left the university to do my entrepreneurial work. Anyhow, I stayed with them, and we built basically an integrated accounting and manufacturing system at the time. The first, by the way, to integrate something called contact management, product data management. They have 14 companies, one of which was the toy company, right? And they did plastic injection molding. This particular element is kind of a nice example because it only has really four components to it, right? The upper half, the bottom half, if you prefer, the bottom half, the upper half. As a highway, you could say left and right. I could turn it this way and do right and left. There's a steel dowel in the middle, and then, of course, the string. Okay. And then you might have the cardboard that it lays on and the plastic around it. So there's six parts to a yo-yo. We really captured what it costs, both in material and labor, to produce one of these and to produce 5,000 an hour.
Wow.
So we spent a lot of time looking for alternative suppliers of the plastics, the metal, the string. You would think, okay, how does this compare? Well, it compares to other industries by virtue of the same principle, whether you're making a little four component element or you're making something like a car with thousands of items in its bill of material, to focus on how to reduce the cost results in that savings being dropped to the bottom line, or at least midline at the gross profit level, certainly all the way down to the bottom line, every single time the component is made, every single time this product is produced. So if I could save a penny, I'm saving $50 an hour. If I run one shift a day on one machine, I'm saving hundreds of dollars, right? For that day, $400 to $500, depending on how much I run it. If I have three machines going, I'm saving between $1,000 and $1,500. You can see this is one penny saved on the material cost. And if I run that through the entire year for a 2,000 hour operation per work center, and I multiply that by three, you can imagine now I'm into saving hundreds of thousands of dollars. And where is that going? That's all dropping to the bottom line. And what small business owner wouldn't like to have fatter bottom lines? Mm. It is only by having the bigger picture, which can only be seen by having big lenses on your face, that allows you to see these opportunities.
That's absolutely beautiful. So one penny can impact your bottom line hundred thousands of dollars.
Yes, and perhaps millions.
And perhaps millions. And that was, oh my gosh, that was a hot toy back in the day when I was a kid, right? Everybody had a yo-yo. Matter of fact, yo-yos were stolen. That's how hot they were.
It was a company that was bought out of bankruptcy and had its cycles. It's very interesting, just like most products and services. It was a seven-year cycle. And being a globally accepted product, it could level out. So, you know, they would have the Olympics, the yo-yo Olympics and the competitions and all the fancy tricks. I can do a walk the dog. I can do a rock the baby. I would prefer to use a butterfly, right?
Yes. They had a different version.
This is the butterfly. Kind of neat. Really like that. But I've got to buy some more butterflies. Very hard to find. It's amazing. You know, even if you go to Wally World or someplace, one of the big box producers, hard to find them. Even though they are only about $3 and they've been $3 for years. Where does the producer make the money? In the manufacturing and the savings. So we want to look at the top level and we want to understand what it costs to deliver our product and service, which means what? The financial statement, small business owner, are your friends. That income statement is your friend. That balance sheet is your friend. It is not simply a report that some bookkeeper or accountant does for you periodically or once a month. It is your friend. It is they depict the health of the business as clearly as an EKG does for somebody sitting in an emergency room.
Got it. Okay. And you drive that point home as you explain different things we should be looking at so we can drive intentional profit, right?
Right.
So I encourage everybody to read Dennis's chapter probably multiple times for it really to sink in. I know I had to because I wanted to really create another new relationship with my reports. So I know how to adjust what I'm doing to have my reports reflect more favorably in the direction I choose. So what I'd like to ask you, Dennis, is how does all of this tie into intentionality, which is in the title of your chapter?
Well, it was great because this year's theme was a common thread of intentionality through every chapter, which I think is awesome. You know, It wasn't like I wrote the first chapter and then the other nine authors read that and then said, okay, I see the theme. We'll do intentionality. No, it just came through. And I believe by divine appointment, I believe that there's something that links us all together in a realm that we don't see And I think it's more than a metaverse, not to take away any thunder from one of my high-tech colleagues out there. But the idea that all of this works together, all of it works together, the good and the bad, to lead to some sort of outcome, which ultimately we can hope is for our good. So with intentionality, understanding your cost, predicting, and again, with intentionality, having good outreach for your business on the sales side, you can accurately predict your profits at the beginning of the year.
Accurately predict your profits at the beginning of the year. Well, I want to tell you, Dennis, that is not common in the small business sector. Mm-mm.
No, they shoot from the hip. Let's face it. Small business people take away from things that really could help them strategically in order to focus on the daily fires that pop up. And I'm not saying you ignore those daily fires, but they fit. If you have a framework that's built around your predictions for the year, then the extension of that is being able to predict that over multiple years. And every one of your decisions is based on achieving or moving towards those end goals. So if you have a set of contracts, it's easy to predict the outcome of those contracts. Yet most small businesses, despite having contracts and even some track record of sales, don't sit down and do even a basic budgeting process because they don't want to be confined to a budget. No. We have to do whatever it takes. Yes and no. You're going to do whatever it takes. That's the reason why you get up in the morning and pursue your dream manifested in your business. But what you really want to be able to do is say, look, if I manage these $2 million of contracts and I continue to do this right, or I'm starting up and I'm just looking at, I don't know, a couple hundred thousand dollars worth of work, there has to be a bottom line that you're driving to. Otherwise, without that kind of plan, not only will any road get you to the results you achieve, but they will not be the results that you planned. So intentionality lays out the milestones along the journey for that period of time. I like to look at it annually, but I have helped companies predict once you have enough years of financial data, it's easy to come up with I'm going to get really weird on you, right? An nth order polynomial equation, blah, 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 a very fancy math formula that will actually allow you to project out years. And I've proven that over and over again. I had one client, one of my longest running clients, didn't even understand the predictability of the year because, you know, he felt that it was all dependent on the people that work there. And it is what it is. The end result's the end result. No, that's not what it is at all. And in 2006, I predicted after 3 years of financials that I had under my belt and understanding the business. Could I have done it sooner than later? I could have because I was doing modeling all along. But I was able to do a predictor that showed that if things did not change, they would be basically bleeding red, not 6 months later, but 6 years later. So they had a 6 year heads up to make corrective actions in their business, detailed to what needed to change, everything from top line income segments to the delivery cost to how things could work. As far as 6 years ahead.
Now, I bow to you because I don't use that long term you used when I work with clients. I just tell them we're going to look at your pace and we're going to predict. And it's through your pace and then what your goals are and what the changes are. And they're like, oh, okay, fine, we can do that. And they have no idea what they're really doing when I'm working with them until we're done. And then they see that it's accurate. And that's what always amazes them. Just like what you're saying, our profit can be very predictable.
Yes. Yep.
And we don't have to be stressing out over, can we pay the electric bill this week? We do not have to stress out over that. There is a different way of doing this. And this is where the difference, I believe, Dennis, of the science of business needs to meet the art of business, because the science doesn't change. It just is. It's how it happens.
That's correct. Yeah.
And then how we choose to play the game is the art.
Well, most of the business owners, again, would be caught up in the short-term day-to-day firefighting.
Yes.
And become a statistic, even knowing years in advance of the changes that they have to make, simply because they're in those rabbit holes. Well, look, folks, grind. What we try to do as brilliant practicing experts, which is really, really cool to be recognized to do this, is we enable our clients, and I do this with mine, and I know the others that I've talked to in detail do this with theirs. We enable you to not just wear bigger lenses and see the bigger picture. We give you the tools and techniques to grind bigger lenses for yourself.
Correct. Correct. It is fabulous. So clearly, Dennis, small to medium business success rates can increase from this kind of intentionality. And the last time we talked about one step towards system integration to streamline business operations, we had that conversation last time. Now, what should we be thinking about this time?
The oversight, and I'm not saying the governance oversight, I'm saying the overlooking of what's in your face.
Overlooking what's in our face.
Right, the gaps.
Okay.
Okay, the creative person, and not everybody's creative. The news bulletin today is that creative is not necessarily imaginative. That's not what we're talking about. The creative personality, and you can Google this, it is a clinically identifiable mindset that certain people have. Very small percentage, by the way. Less than 4% of the population are truly creative personalities. They have the ability to extrapolate and interpolate that which is not there. In other words, based on the data that they have, they can fill in the gaps and they can extend the projection. So the predictability is also short-term what you can actually deal with. And that's where the gap analysis comes from. You don't know what you don't have unless you know what to ask. And you've heard this over and over again. I don't know enough to know what to ask.
The power of a good question.
Yeah, and that inquiry can be misleading, right? You can spend a lot of time doing root cause analysis of failure rather than trying to examine the root cause analysis of what you did right. You know, to do the failure means I'm going to spend a lot of research to figure out what I didn't do right rather than emphasize what I did do right.
Yes.
And then figure out in the process how I would streamline that or fill in the gaps. Because it's easier to break things down, to tear things down, if I can use that word, than it is to build things up.
Yes.
It's easier to say, oh, those three data points you have are inadequate because of X, Y, and Z, when in fact, you don't even know what's filling in between those. And so that gap analysis really is important, because every new system that you implement, whether it's accounting or marketing or mailing automation, every new system introduces new gaps.
Okay. Every new system introduces new gaps. Okay. Which goes right back to integrate for well-managed intentional profits. So what's the other thing that we need to know today, Dennis?
Well, the gaps themselves prevent you from truly having integration.
Okay, say that again, please.
The gaps are what truly prevent you from having integration. See, you're integrating what? Well, again, I'm going to throw a term out there that I've coined and I'm promoting it. You've heard of the Internet of Things. I don't believe that things and people are separable. So I refer to it as the Internet of Things and people. And to the extent that, you know, you're putting in a lot of automation, a lot of systems, you look at what we've done even over the last 2 years with the pandemic. The reality is that the gaps are preventing smooth operation of what it is your organization as an agile, functional entity making money for you should be able to do. Instead, you have interfaces that get in and out of joint with each other, just like tectonic plates. And what happens at those interfaces? Earthquakes, pressure, tension, Distress. Let's break it down to what it is personally for most business owners. Distress. You're not stressing over delivering a product to a customer. You shouldn't be in business if that's the case, right? You went into business to deliver product to a customer. But now you got to figure out how you're going to replace that graphic designer that you've grown to develop such a dependency on. Well, they were operating in a cloud anyhow. They were operating, as an interface, somebody you'd hand a task to. All of a sudden they're gone. Now what do you do? Well, there it is. You got to go find somebody. Now all of a sudden you're wearing a workforce recruiter's hat because you know how important that person is in messaging for your company. Those interfaces are often looked at with Band-Aid solutions, bridges, but it doesn't change anything. Once the two sides are out of whack, the bridge falls apart. And now you spend a lot of time. What happens if those things fires?
Well, makes perfect sense. And thank you for making it so simple for our listeners to understand this rather complex concept. And I'm really excited about that. But like in our last interview, let me ask, why does any of this even matter?
Well, this is the key, right? Having the dream result in a sustainable, scalable reality won't happen by accident.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. I love it.
as the great Hannibal Lecter, a famous psychiatrist, a world renowned, would say, it's not because it's incidental, right? Business Got it. Is not incidental, it's intentional.
It's and intentional.
So that's what we have here, intentionality. You draw out everything that's going to turn that dream into reality. And how well you do that is best realized in its sustainability and scalability.
All right. Well, that makes sense. And I think we need to cap it there and save some for, episode 3 in your mini series.
You can do that. That'll be great.
Okay.
I'd rather have your listeners appreciate what it takes to turn a dream into reality rather than to run around every day and avoid the nightmarish results that are experienced by so many small, mid-sized businesses to this day. Let's look forward to the positive, because it's positive things and positive people that make things better.
Well, that's true. And I love that. So let's cap right here. We'll save some for the next episode. And I'd like to say, listeners, this is how you can learn more, engage with 2-time number one best-selling business author, Dr. Dennis Hill. And I can add number one best-selling international in there too. Start by reading chapter 1 in volume 5 of the book, Brilliant Breakthroughs for the Small Business Owner. And when you look, we have the same title for all the books in our series. The one that Dennis is referencing today is the turquoise covered book. And it's found in all sorts of places. We're on Barnes & Noble, we're everywhere, but probably the easiest place to find us is on Amazon, which holds all 5 of the books in the series. And again, remember, turquoise cover. And at the end of Dennis's chapter, he has a very nice invitation for you to engage further with him on this whole concept of intentional profits. Dennis, would you like to share what that's about?
Sure. If you go to integrateforgrowth.com, which is tied to the barcode or the QR code at the end of the book, it's also in the call to action, you will receive an opportunity to download the recipe for success for small business owners. And that recipe highlights several of these points that we've made here, some of the points that I make in the book, but in greater depth, some real tips and tricks, some real methods that you can engage with. The beautiful thing is that all of these things are proven. They don't always work exactly for everybody in the same way because of the type of products or services that you deliver, the things that you're comfortable with. But in America, you know, where you have an idea and you have an accounting system and you have a market, just add your energy, add your passion, add add a little bit of these tips and techniques to improve your likelihood of success. Integrateforgrowth.com.
Beautiful. Thank you. And here's something else that's really cool. Right now you can see everything about the book, how to get a hold of it with one click, and Dennis by going to the books app, Brilliant Biz Book. So go to your app store and download the free app, Brilliant Biz Book, and you'll have access to Dennis as well as all of our authoring experts in the series. And you can click on a feature that's titled Ask an Expert, and you'll find Dennis's name and go ahead and send him your message and he'll respond back, right?
All of the authors are in there, even not just for us, but you know that we have over 300 years of experience among ourselves, this year's author team. But when you put all the authors together from all 5 years, it's a millennium of experience. small business, look, you want answers, small business owner, you need not just the books, which make great reading, and you can, all the chapters are individually written, so you can actually pick them up and read them as you want, in any order you want. But you have direct access to the authors, and that to me is real authenticity, right? There's a lot of people that write books and do speaking and that sort of thing, and they stand up and you never get to know who they are. You can read all about the authors in the Brilliant Biz Book app. You can read about us too on our author profiles on Amazon. But you know what? Don't just read, engage. And you can do that in our community app. So I want to recommend that highly. That it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. You don't even have to buy the book to download the app.
That's right. And you also mentioned engage. We do have on there what somebody would call similar to a social media wall. It's called the Small Business Community page. Check that out. Our authors are sharing all sorts of wisdom there and encouragement and other resources that they have created to go ahead and help you shine brightly. So thanks for mentioning that, Dennis. And gosh, in our show notes, I'm going to put down all the other episodes that you have already done in our series. So everyone can go ahead and click on that because there's quite a few. I don't think we're going to have enough time to go through all of them. But most importantly, I want to thank you today, Dennis, for your wisdom sharing. You authentically and intentionally move through business and your relationships. So thank you for showing up the awesome way that you do.
I can, you know, people all know this from my bio that I really am about teaching and learning. That's a two-way street. I can teach all that I want, but if you don't learn it, it kind of falls on its face. This experience is different than any other publication or speaking experience I've ever had. And it's a great honor and privilege for me to be a part of your team.
Oh, thank you. We're glad you joined us, not once, but twice, and have always supported us with our release week. And listeners, we also appreciate you listening to the Brilliant Breakthroughs Business Podcast, where you learn about how to create more brilliant breakthroughs for your small business. Shine brightly until next week.